If you would, turn to John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. We are very familiar with these verses. But as we look at our lesson today, our lesson is seeing people through God's eyes. Do we need a second touch? John 3, 16 and 17 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Our class and our lesson this morning all revolves around evangelism, all revolves around the need to save the lost, the need to be able to preach the gospel of Christ. And so we need to ask ourselves, what do we see when we look around and we see the world? What is it that we're seeing? And tell me if I'm wrong, but we see hate, envy, greed, quarrels, arguing, gossip, war, political turmoil, sickness, famine, social and economic injustice. We see racism, ageism, and genderism. And this may bother some of us. And many of us, it may anger us. But yet, when God sees the world, his response is love. And not any kind of love, but an unconditional love we call agape. We don't do anything to receive this love. It's given to us freely. It's a gift. We don't deserve it. We don't do anything for it. And if we remember the scripture, we love God because he first loved us. And Luke shares with us what Jesus did when he wept over Jerusalem in Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 44. Because they were unaware, they were blind of the peace that they could have had. Their spiritual blindness to have this is a terrible thing, to not be aware of our spiritual state. Or even worse, if we ignore it purposely. But when God is ready to do so much for us, and yet we're not prepared to accept it, we're not prepared to take it, to receive it, to act on it, and all we need to do is believe. Believe in him who was sent. Believe in him who died on the cross. Believe in him who shed the blood on the cross, who was buried, and on the third day rose again. We could only do those things, then we could have this. In Matthew chapter 23, verses 37 through 39, Jesus says that he would have happily gathered them as a hen its chicks, but they are not willing. What do we see when we look around and look at the world? I want us to turn and look in Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 25. This is where the question that we have for today's sermon comes from. Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 25. And the Bible says this: "And they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had spat on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, 'Do you see anything?' And he looked up and said, 'I see people, but they look like trees walking.' Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again. And he opened his eyes. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Amen. As we live our lives and go about our day-to-day business, how do we see the people in our lives? Those that surround us, our friends, our family, our neighbors, the visitors. Are they like trees walking? Do we see them as objects? Is that what they are to us? Could our evangelism be better if we didn't see people as objects, as things? Have we been blinded by the worldly and human teaching? Isaiah 29, verse 13 says that we honor God with our lips, but our hearts are far from Him. Because maybe our worship is based on human rules, but our hearts, human rules that we were taught, and that's in our hearts now. Our spiritual vision has been obscured, and we need a second touch. Jesus quotes from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, in Matthew 13, verses 14 and 15, and he shares with us that we need to listen to him. And we need to listen to him with our ears, our hearts, and our eyes, so that they can be opened, so that we can understand, so that we can have a better life. Do we need a second touch? When we open our eyes this morning, and as we are here now today, our brother David said there are several visitors with us. How are we looking at them? Have we spoken to them? Have we reached out? How are we looking at them? And visitor, how are you looking at us? Are you looking at us with eyes of the world? Or are you looking at us with the eyes of God? For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him would have everlasting life. See, we need to be able to see things clearly as God sees things. His ways need to become our ways. Have we taken into consideration what our spiritual condition is or was, as well as the condition of the world around us? If we look at ourselves and remember the salvation that was brought to us, would this help us to see others and the need to evangelize in a much clearer way? In class and yesterday, I shared that an elder evangelized our family. He cared about souls. He had a doctorate in Bible. He was 67. But he cared and wanted people to be saved. He worried about the lost. He worried about the church. He took me under his wing and he took me with him to visit shut-ins and give devotionals. He taught me how to pray, how to lead a scripture reading. He saw things in a much different way, in a more godly way. Do we need a second touch? In Isaiah chapter 6, verses 3 and 5, it says, "And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. 'Woe to me,' I cried, 'I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty.'" Amen. You see, Isaiah understood his spiritual condition. He understood where he was, and that his lips needed to be atoned, that he needed to have atonement. James warns us not to forget what has been shown to us. He says that we are to remember and go and do, James chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. We were saved because someone brought the gospel of Christ to us, because they recognized their spiritual condition and the good news of atonement that was brought to them and needed to be shared. They wanted to share it. They wanted others to be in the same place as they are now, because they understood where they were. Do we need a second touch? You know, lottery winners, even the smartest of them all, at some point share their good news with their friends and family. They share that they've won this big prize. They have this thing that they now didn't have before. And if we can do that with something as worldly as a lottery and as beautiful as a baby, as a wedding, as a birthday, we share these things with people. Why are we not sharing the gospel of Christ? So Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, he says this: "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer." We have to look at things much differently now. We have to change the way we see. Do we need a second touch? We need to look deeper and remove the superficial appearances of things. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. "For God's ways are better than our ways." Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 9. God sees his creation, a creation made in his image. Genesis chapter 1, verse 7. We and the world are special to him. What God hates, we ought to hate. And that's sin. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. God loves his creation, and he wants to save us. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. He says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Surely I am with you always to the very end of age." Look at what Paul says about reaching out to as many as possible to win them for Christ. That was our scripture that was read to us by our brother. 1 Corinthians 9:19. "Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone." The NIV says, "to win as many as possible." Do we need a second touch? He continues in verses 22 and 23 by saying, "I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some." Verse 23, "For I do all this for the sake of the gospel." Are we willing to do all things for the gospel? Are we willing to submit ourselves to God completely so that we can serve and go with the authority that Christ has given us to go with to make more disciples? Do we need a second touch? Jesus shared his view of God and people who are our neighbors in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Jesus clearly wants us to love God completely and wholeheartedly. He also wants us to love and care about our neighbor. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, He teaches us to have mercy and thus fulfilling the law. If taking care of people in their physical needs is being a good neighbor, how much more are we fulfilling His commandment when we bring salvation of soul to someone? How much more important is it to Him to save the soul? It's very important to Him to feed the stomach, to clothe the body, to shelter the family. And by the way, y'all did an awesome job of taking care of the people in this town after the flood. And I assure you, God is holding all of that accountable to you and will show mercy and love to you. And these people right now, they see you. This town sees the church as a beacon of light. And today, and it's an opportunity today to take advantage of that. Because right now, the light is shining on Christ. And you can reach out to this town and share Christ with them because they've seen it in you. They've seen it in what you've given them. You've taken care of the physical needs. Now we need to take care of the spiritual one. There's a principle in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 that we should consider. If God wants us to comfort people because we were comforted, wouldn't we want to bring the comfort of the gospel of Christ to them? Because we were comforted with the gospel of Christ. We have been brought the peace of Christ. During our gospel sharing, we asked the question, if the Lord was to come right now, without any doubt, would you go home to heaven with Him? I mentioned that in the class too. Do we realize how many don't know or answered no? I was very surprised, but at the same time, it's expected. They said no. The sin of man has separated man from God. Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. The gospel of Jesus Christ manifested through the death, burial, and resurrection in baptism sets them and us free of sin. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 5. If we love God, we have to love our neighbor. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. If we are sitting here saying that we love God, that we believe in Jesus, then by de facto, we must show that to our neighbor, to our friends, to our family, to the people around this community. Otherwise, we don't love either. We need to have the heart of Jesus and have a compassion that Jesus had for the people. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14. Look at the people because of their souls. Don't look at them because of their physical appearance. Look at them because of the soul. We can't do anything about the body except feed it, clothe it, shelter it. We're all appointed to die one day. But we can do everything we can for the soul that lives forever. Don't we want our soul and the soul of our neighbor and our friend to be in heaven? Amen? Don't we want them to have eternal life, not eternal death? Amen? In Romans chapter 10, verse 15, it tells us how beautiful the feet are that preach the gospel of peace. Do we need a second touch? In Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38, the Bible says this, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Do we need a second touch? We need to be praying. We need to be praying for our hearts to be opened up to taking the message of the gospel to everyone. And we need to be praying for those people who we're going to be sharing the gospel with to have an open heart for Christ. There is plenty of work. And I think y'all know that, and you've seen that in the last few years. By the number of people that were in here needing food, needing help, needing furniture. And y'all did a fantastic job. May God be praised and God glorified by the work that y'all have done. But it's not over. We need to take care of the soul. And when Jesus looks at people, he looks at them with a love that's unconditional. It doesn't matter how old or young. It doesn't matter how rich or poor. It doesn't even matter if it's male or female. Because God sees their soul. And the gospel is for everyone. No exceptions. The gospel of Jesus Christ is for everyone. Mark chapter 8, verse 25, it says this: once more Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes, then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. May our eyes be open today to see people as precious creations of God, to go and make disciples, to go and save the lost and fallen souls. If you have any need today, if you need prayers so that God can help you, give you that courage to speak to people, we're here to pray with you and for you. If you need to receive the gospel and you're ready to accept it, we have water. We can baptize you for the forgiveness of your sins today. But if you need to have the gospel explained to you, we have brethren who are ready to teach you God's word and show you what needs to happen, who Jesus is, why he did what he did, and how this all benefits you. But whatever your need may be, as we stand and sing, you have the opportunity.